Time we have left now. Turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. This has kind of been the theme chapter for our branching out and going forward and starting a church. Calvary Baptist Church has had a part in starting four churches already. This will be the fifth church plant. And I'll tell you, I'm thankful for my pastor. What a wise man of God. I don't look down or despise or ridicule any older preacher. Now, your pastor's not old. He's just well-seasoned. But I don't think bad of any older person. Now, you that are younger, you be sure that you respect your elders and look to them. They've been in places we've not yet been yet. They've got wisdom that we don't have yet. And I tell you, my pastor has always had a philosophy. We're not building up, we're building out. We've got nice facilities. We've got wonderful things there at Calvary, but he's not put the focus on how big we could build Calvary. He's located areas and prayed for areas around us that needed good churches, and he was willing to take resources, including people, and send them to those areas to see churches started. And that's really what God's plan has been from the very get-go, is that we be really mindful of seeing churches planted. But I'm mindful of the time. Your preacher said there's a afterglow after service. And I'll tell you, when I went to the bathroom a while ago, there was chicken, fried chicken at the afterglow. Now, who brings fried chicken to an afterglow? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to identify you. We've got a home in Washington, and you can be our first church members. Praise the Lord. We'll sign you up. I think every church function ought to have chicken, or it just ain't a function. Okay, Acts chapter 17, we're going to make it quick here tonight, and as I said, this is kind of been our theme for going into Washington, North Carolina. What's interesting is what we're doing today in 2016, and many other churches and people are doing it all around the country, if not all around the world, starting churches. It was being practiced all the way back in the book of Acts. Now, I'm not much of a historian. I don't know. I went to college. They had great food there. But you could talk to someone probably much smarter than I am on how many years ago this setting in Acts chapter 17 it was. I'll say it's over 1,000 years ago. They were doing the same thing then that we're doing now. Or we can say we're doing the same thing now that they were doing then. And you know, the gospel never changes. It works the same way. Here's what it goes. You get saved as a saved individual. You need to then become part of a local independent Baptist church. You need to be baptized and become part of that church and then begin to serve. They started practicing that there in Acts. That's the way God set it up. And we're still continuing that same practice today. And God helping us until the rapture, we still look to see people saved, baptized, and joining churches. Christians go to church, amen? Amen? That's where Christians go. Well, let's look now at this story in Acts chapter 17. We're speaking here of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas have teamed up. Paul and Barnabas have split off. Barnabas has taken John Mark. Paul's taken Silas. They've received the Macedonia call. They're heading toward Macedonia and getting involved in that. And God leads them through this area called Thessalonica. And Brother Sam, you did a great job preaching from Acts chapter 17 back in June. I happened to look on your website, and I caught a message he preached on that. So if you want a real good message from this chapter, you check out that from June. I think it was him or somebody did in the service here. But if you've studied, I guess y'all been in Thessalonians in your study. If you read the book of Thessalonians, that church that got started in Thessalonians, in Thessalonica, this is the beginning of that here in Acts chapter 17. This is how it got started. I won't spend a lot of time on talking about that, but look at this now in verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 6, and when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Verse number 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city, and when they had heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel, the message that you've laid on my heart with these folks. I pray that your Holy Spirit will do only what he's able to do there, and that is speak to the heart, Lord. I can't speak to a person's heart, and I pray that you do. Lord, strengthen us in your word tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we find here, we break into this story as Paul comes to this city, and the Bible says he was there around three Sabbath days. And what I want to draw your attention to first, though, is verse number 2. The Bible says, Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. That is my desire, is to go into the Washington area and begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what every unsaved person needs to hear first. They need to be saved. I've got a friend right now going through Christian counseling, and he's getting a degree in Christian counseling. And he told me the beginning of counseling is first salvation. To get a person to live right, they must first know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You can clean up the outside, but if you don't have the inside where it ought to be, the outside's just going to fall apart. And so it's important that a person first hear and understand and receive Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What Paul says here, what the Bible says is, as his manner was, he went in on the Sabbath day. Now today's the first day of the week, and we celebrate it because today is the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we assembled together. But they assembled together on the Sabbath day. Look with me quickly in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. I've already made this comment, and I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But you know, it's important that you go to the house of God when the house of God is open. It's important. Your pastor, your teacher, whoever it might be, has taken time to study God's Word and has the mind of the Lord on what He is to deliver. And he spent time in prayer and preparation to really break the bread and give to you as God would have you to have. And it's important that you're there. You know, Paul, it didn't start with him going to the synagogue. Now today we don't go to the synagogue, we go to the church, but it didn't start with Paul. It started way back with Jesus, if not before. Look at verse 16 of Luke 4. And he, speaking of Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So it didn't start with Paul. It went all the way back to Jesus. And I like to do some things that Jesus did. I think if Jesus was living today and Bible Baptist Church was open for service, Jesus would be here. I believe God's here today in the form of the Spirit. I believe that. If he didn't show up, it would be nothing here anyway. So you pray with me that the Lord will speak to our hearts tonight as we move forward. Now back in Acts chapter 17, as his manner was, On the Sabbath day, he was going to the synagogue where God's Word was read. But not only would he go there, but he also, as he went there, he went with a mission in mind. He went there to share the Scriptures, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. His manner was, his custom was, if we'll say it that way, when he went to the synagogue, he was going to speak about Jesus Christ to try to lead folks to the saving knowledge. I encourage you to do this. To have some type of custom or manner in which you share the gospel. I carry with me often tracts, and I will give tracts to people. You say, I'm a little bit nervous sometimes when it comes to people I don't know, and so I'm not as open to talk to them. I told the folks in Charlotte earlier this afternoon, I was preaching over at Every Nation, and I'll tell you, something strange happened to me on my way from Charlotte. When I left Charlotte and was coming down the road and I crossed over into South Carolina, I just felt like an ease come over me. I don't know why. I felt so strange in that big city and all those folks. Now you may say, "Your brother, you're still in the city." I don't know. You folks just like country folks to me. Back home, we call them rednecks. I was using words there in every nation. They didn't understand it. It wasn't because they spoke another language. It's because they were from Charlotte. Your preacher said it. I didn't. Yankees. I don't understand them. They don't understand me, but y'all understand me, right? Well, amen. Why did I get on that? Anyway, I don't remember what got me going on that, but sharing the gospel, yes. Having a gospel tract. When you don't know what to say, you can just pull one out and give it to someone. I guess I got on this thing because I can talk to just about anyone at the grocery store and all. I may be nervous, but I can get a conversation started, and I usually get a conversation started with a stranger so that I can have an opportunity to present them with the gospel. Give them a tract. I don't know what you may say. I'm too nervous. I just couldn't do that. I couldn't go door to door. Well, you figure out a manner. You develop a habit of getting out the gospel. If you send your bill in the mail and you have to send a check in the mail to somebody, you know, you can put a track in that. As long as your bill's on time and paid up, you put a track in there, stamp it, and send it out. That's a good way to get to start doing it. Witnessing at school, witnessing to your friends, to your family, whatever your method or manner is. But Paul's method and manner was this. His custom was, I'm going to the city, and I'm a learned Jew, he was, and I'm going to the synagogue where the other Jews are, because I can communicate with them quite well, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to take what they've got. What he used was not some 7-point plan on how to be a better person. He used the scriptures. And any church you go to that puts these scriptures aside and uses something else, it's not a church. The church is built on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. This is the Word. The church, this is what you need when you come to church. This is what a person needs to be saved. They need to hear the gospel. Hey, the Bible says of itself, God says, my Word shall not return void. Now, there's sometimes I think that person will never change. That person will never receive it. But it's not my job to do that. It's my job to give it and then let God take over. Paul would go in, and as the Bible says, as we've already read, look at this in verse number 4. And some of them believed and consorted with him or joined with Paul and Silas. But then the Bible says in verse 5, excuse me. But the Jews which believe not, there will always be some that believe not. You know, we're going into Washington. We want to get a church started. I've told you this, and you heard in a video, it's a very religious area. You say, what in the world is the Muslims doing in Washington? Well, there's a college town just about 25 miles west of us, and they are hitting that place hard. It's called Greenville, ECU, East Carolina University, and they have got that place wrapped up. It's surprising. You can get a list from your local college as to what groups are allowed to meet there. They have several Islamic groups that meet on campus on a regular basis. They have their own office set up there on campus. And so for North Carolina, the North Carolina Islamic Center of Faith is located in Greenville, North Carolina. And they have bled into Washington, North Carolina. But that's just one of the false religions, the darkness that's in the area. And I'm sure that as we go into Washington and begin to preach the truth, we're going to face opposition. I was told the only fish that swims with the tide is a dead fish. And so when you begin to do the work of God, whether you step out by faith and you say, I'm going to do this, whether it be in your family or in your home or in your personal life or together as a church, or you step out to begin some type of ministry, you can be assured you're going to face opposition. You will. And I know we will. We already have faced some opposition. I want you to see, though, just quickly here, what Paul was preaching to these Jews. These Jews believed that a Messiah was coming. And he was preaching to them that the Messiah, the Christ, must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. As a young and growing up, I missed a lot of things. Just not paying attention or whatever. But I used to think that Jesus, his name was Jesus Christ. First name Jesus, last name Christ. That's what I thought. I know that sounds a little funny, but I thought his name was Jesus Christ. But after studying and learning a little bit about this, his name was Jesus. The angel told his parents, you name him Jesus, which is Savior. But you understand this word Christ is not a name, but a title. It identifies that man, Jesus, as the one that had been prophesied in the Old Testament that would come. the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Emmanuel. So Paul stands up and tells the Jews, hey, the Messiah, the one you're looking for, he must needs have suffered, died, basically, rose again from the dead. The Messiah needed to come and die. You see, they were looking for a Messiah to come and lead them out of Roman oppression, set up some kingdom here on earth, and to take them right on through that and to deliver them, and they'd have a nice kingdom set up. But I'm thankful that Jesus didn't come to set up a kingdom on earth at that time. You know why? Because none of us would be part of it. We would, and so would have the disciples. They would have all died in their sin, and they'd have been separated from God. But Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom at that time. He came to die for the sins of the world. That's what Paul is preaching to these Jews. Your Messiah, the Messiah that we're looking for, he needed to die, to be buried, and then rise again. But he didn't stop with the Messiah you're looking for. He said the Messiah you're looking for is Jesus, the one that has already come, died, buried, and rose again the third day. Well, after preaching that, there were some, the Holy Spirit moved on their heart, and they believed. In verse number 4, the Bible says they consorted, or they joined with Paul and Silas. Tonight, you have come together and you have joined together. You've developed, you have began a church here. I think, preacher, you started this church, right? Many a year ago, this pastor started this church, and folks have come in, they've been saved, maybe here or elsewhere, and they've come and they decided to join together. That's what happened here. This is the beginning, if you will, of that church at Thessalonica. They got saved. They were baptized into the fellowship of the believers. And as I've already stressed a number of times, that's what believers do, is go to church. You say, what do you keep hitting that point for? Well, because there are some folks there in Washington that call themselves churches, but they don't have Wednesday night and they don't have Sunday night. You see, there are some churches, I believe, that do preach the gospel, but they're muddied up. They're really muddied up. They've got the wrong text. They've got the wrong music. They've got the wrong philosophy. And so it's not really the right type of church. But they're far and few between. Really, the number one church in Washington is the Church of Christ. And if you don't know much about them, they teach baptismal regeneration. You've got to be baptized to go to heaven. That's not what my Bible says. That's not the truth. And so we've got a task ahead of us. But we know that there will be those that believe. And we do know this. There will be those that join together. I'm looking forward to that, preacher. I'm looking forward to having somebody be able to stand up before my congregation and lead the singing. Because God knows that I don't need to be doing that. I'm looking forward to the lady or the man that will be able to play the instruments in the church. Because I know they're there. They will be saved and they will come together and they will begin to serve together with us. And you pray about that. I'm excited for those. I'm sure I've not even met all the folks that are going to be saved and join our ministry. Some will come in from outside the area, but people will come and will go. Why? Because God builds His church and He brings apart a local assembly. And within that local assembly, He sees to it that the needs are met. And I'm excited about that. There was one man here that's mentioned in this passage that we read tonight that came a part of their group. His name is really not mentioned elsewhere much, if any, and that is the man named Jason. Look what the Bible says. There were some Jews in verse 5 that did not believe. They moved with envy. They were jealous. And they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason. There's that name, Jason. Who is Jason? Well, here's what I believe. This is my belief, and I draw my conclusion from the text. Jason was someone that got saved in the area as Paul and Silas were preaching, probably, in verse 4, and some of them believed. Jason got saved, and he said, listen, I've got a house, and you can come meet in it. We can get together, and we can break bread together, and we can meet together. Jason was just like you and I. He was just a saved individual that was surrendered and wanted to begin serving. You say, I've not been called to be the preacher or the song leader. I'm not called to sing. I'm a nobody. No, wait a second. If you're saved, God saved you not to sit, soak, and sour, but to sit, soak, and serve. Now, you write that down. That's the only one I got. God called you to sit, to soak. You get what your preacher's saying, and then you begin to serve. That's what Jason was. He was just a servant. He said, I've got a home, and if you need it, you can use it. I've got two donkeys. If you want them, take them. I don't think they had Fords back then, but if they did, that's what he had offered. He wouldn't drive a Chevrolet now. Come on. We are in South Carolina, right? He offered what he had. I'm asking you tonight, do you have a method in sharing the gospel? As Paul's manner was, he went into the synagogues and he tried to convert the Jews. By what? By giving them the good news. Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. The fact that they could receive forgiveness of sins. Your method, your manner may be different than mine. Not everybody can be the pastor. This is not my only time of sharing the gospel. If it was, I would be wrong in doing so. I need to do it out anywhere I'm at. Number two, are you willing to be adjacent? Are you willing to serve in whatever aspect or ministry or way you can? Are you willing to give of what God has given you? That's the thing. Jason, I don't know exactly what all he had or how wealthy he was, but he was willing to give his home. And as a result of that, now here's something interesting, and you can study it out at another time. The Bible doesn't say they attacked Paul and Silas, although they do run them out of town. They had to leave. You know who they went after? They went after Jason because he was identified with them. And this is a warning for you. I'm not your pastor, but I'm warning you. You be careful, because when the devil can't get your preacher, you know who he's going to try to go after? He's going to go after you to get to the preacher. And churches that have problems normally don't start with the preacher. It starts somewhere out here. And it's not your fault. The devil knows he can go after whoever he can get. You watch yourself. They went after Jason. They just didn't say, where's Paul and Silas? The Bible says they took security of him. They made him pay money and pledged that he wasn't going to participate in those things anymore. The devil will attack you and cause you to begin to suffer to try to get to your pastor or destroy this church. Don't allow the devil to use you or you to become some type of instrument to destroy the work of God. But that's what the devil did. You know, the fiery darts of Satan. None of us are outside of the realm of the devil's attack. Look at what the Bible says as we finish here now. And when they found them not, they couldn't get to Paul and Silas at this point for whatever reason. They weren't there. They drew Jason and certain brethren. There were others that were not named unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." You know, they said, "Man, these folks are really messing things up. They have really caused an uproar." The uproar has been caused because, for this reason, they've taken attention away from the synagogue, or they've taken attention away from the religious system that the Jews had set up. And as a result of that, as the Bible's already said, they got jealous in verse 5. They moved with envy, with jealousy. They weren't out on the streets like you folks were in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago. I guess that was y'all out there, really. It looked nice. I mean, you made national news. It was nice of you doing those things that you were doing there in Charlotte. But they weren't out riding in the streets. You know what they were doing? They were preaching the gospel, living Christ-like lives, trying to reach others for Jesus. And as a result of that, to these unsaved people, it was shaking their world up. I mean, just moving things around. A church that's on fire for God will be known in the community. It will be known in the community. A church that is on the move for God will cause friction. And that's what this church did. As it began with folks getting saved, some Jews believed, some Greeks believed, some of the women believed. They got together, they began to meet, and week after week they began to meet, and folks began to get saved, and more saved, and more saved. And later you see Paul's writing back to the church at Thessalonica, and I believe he sends probably Timothy back to check on. I think it was a wonderful church that they got set up there. What a wonderful ministry and all. But it all started with the preaching of the gospel. That's what it started with. It all started with the preaching of the gospel. Jason was willing to be known with them. And as far as they go, for the unsaved folks, they said, these guys have come in, they've turned the world upside down. Can that be said tonight of Bible Baptist Church? Can that be said of Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern? Will that be said of Lighthouse Baptist Church, that we are turning the world upside down? Not for evil, but for good. For good. The world needs to see some moving for God. Verse number 7, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Hey, I got news for them and for us. He is a king. The Bible says, King of kings and Lord of lords. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. But he wasn't leading a rebellion. He was trying to lead folks into forgiveness of sins and to trust Him as their Savior. But, oh yeah, He is a king. They got that right. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city. when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason, you got to pay and you got to make a pledge now. And of the others, they let them go. And the brethren, verse 10, immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. You know, what is it going to take? What will it take to turn us off, to stop us from serving? I don't know. I jokingly say this. Y'all have golden corrals around here. You know what a golden corral is? That's a buffet bar. Well, they just shut the Golden Corral down in Washington, North Carolina, and I am about this close from not going now. I mean, it's really, that was almost a breaking point in us not going to Washington. I'm praying they get a Chick-fil-A. That'll be the saving thing. But you say, what will it take for me to stop serving? Paul and Silas, they find themselves in the jail. Sometimes they got beaten. Sometimes they were, all kinds of things happened to these men. All kinds of things they find themselves in. But he kept on going. After getting kicked out of Thessalonica, he goes into Berea and he says, now as my method and my manner is, I've got these Jews on my heart. I want to reach them for Christ. I'm going back for them. Paul had a heart for the unsaved. At all cost, he was going to try to reach the lost for Jesus. You pray for us. At all cost, I want to reach the lost for Jesus. I've got a heart now. God, it's amazing how when God calls you somewhere, He begins to give you a heart for those people. It is. I'd encourage you, don't you go anywhere unless God's called you, but don't you stop if God called you. Because you need to go where God tells you. And it's amazing how I've got a heart now for the people of Washington. And God be my witness and my help. I'm going unless God says no or He calls me out. And I'm going to stay until God says move. And you pray that I'll have that courage and that strength. I want to be there and I want to hold up the Word of God, preach the gospel, and I'm excited to see all the different Jasons that will be saved in the ministry and how they'll begin to serve. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this opportunity we've had now to share this brief message with these folks. I pray that You'd encourage their heart. Maybe there's one yet, Lord, that has not yet believed. They want to join the church, they want to serve, but they've not yet stepped out in faith and trusted You as their Savior. Convict them and save them tonight, we pray. Maybe there's one, Lord, that has believed, they have joined the church, but they've not yet started serving. I pray that You would encourage that heart to begin to serve. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will develop a custom of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the good news, everywhere we go, with everyone we can. And we'll thank You for that now in Jesus' name. Heads bowed. I'm going to turn the service over to the preacher.